Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks for our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to HighSpeedWeb.net, that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Assistant York County Manager Andy Merriman is with us, and he's just got a few things he's been working on here the last 6 months or so, and we're going to get updated on all that as we continue our Straight Talk program for this very interesting week that we've all lived through. Andy, tell everybody a little bit about your illustrious background.
Well, illustrious is an interesting term, but no, this is my second time in York County, and I'm glad to be back. I've been here a little over about 3.5 years now. Started in Fort Mill, left the state for a while, and then went to Aiken County, was the deputy county administrator there, and I had the opportunity to come back to York County. I'm glad I did. We're happily settled in and trying to be as best community partners as we can be.
And you have the dream team for administrations. I mean, you really got a bunch of guys that you've all worked together before.
We have all worked together before. Mr. Hudspeth is our new county manager, and he hired me in my first job in local government a number of years ago. Kevin Madden, of course, was the external auditor for Fort Mill when I was there. So, yeah, we've been together before.
Right. So, before we get into talking about facilities and projects, I have got to think, just like everybody else's world has been turned upside down by this thing called COVID-19, York County's has been as well?
Yes, York County has been as well. If you've tried to do any business at our front doors, at our Rock Hill locations, York locations, even dealing with magistrates to some level, you've probably found that the doors are not as open or they're limited in access. But just like we are trying to protect the public from anything that any county staff may have been exposed to, we're also trying to protect county staff from anything the public may have been exposed to, because the sooner that we can put this thing to bed, the quicker we can get back to normal. And I think it's incumbent upon us as local government to lead the way in that.
And then you've got an army of, I don't know, what is 800 employees or something?
For a little over 1,000.
A little over 1,000,
yes, sir.
In the county. You not only have to worry about the public coming into your facilities, but then you've got to make sure that army mm-hmm. understands what they need to do on a day in and day out basis.
Yeah, I mean, so much of what we do on a daily basis is not known to the public. I mean, you ride on a county road, you don't know if it's a county road, you don't know if it's a state road, but you have to have the roads to move about. Garbage, sanitation has to be picked up, it has to be disposed of. We have to have law enforcement and fire and medical running around. All of these things that we kind of take for granted, we have to keep people working in those fields to continue to serve the public. And COVID-19 can't stop it.
No, it doesn't stop it. And I know you've got a number of to-dos that you have to do when your team is interfacing with the public, whether it be the sheriff's deputies, whether it be somebody, working on somebody's house, whatever that might be.
That's right. There's, we're doing what we can to take reasonable precautions, everything from trying to get the PPE, the personal protective gear for our first responders, to just making sure that we have got a proper amount of sanitizers for our folks that may handle money or interface with the public at a desk. It's those kind of things that are in shortage nationwide, and we're trying to get our hands on.
I was going to say, don't tell anybody where you got it, or there'll be a run.
No.
All right, so in line with that, yesterday the county council had a special meeting over at the Emergency Operations Center, and the whole purpose was, how do we run the county and do the county's business, i.e. the council, when we can't interface with the public? We've got to have some type of an interim step to do this. And the end result is your county is going virtual.
We're going virtual for May, and this is uncharted. And you keep hearing that term, and it gets a little cliched sometimes from whatever industry, but this truly is something new. County Council did pass an emergency ordinance allowing them to meet virtually. This is there's a sunset on this time period that they can do that, but we're going to meet once a month and try and get the public's business done at that meeting, and we're going to do it virtually. You know, it allows council to meet from different locations, come in through a virtual service, and then allows the public, if there's any interaction with the public through a public hearing or something like that, to utilize the similar format to engage the council.
Now, this has a sunset provision of 60 days, is that
60
right?
60 days.
All right. So after that, you either extend it or you go back to your normal operations.
Yeah, I think that was the intent, is let's get it 60 days and see how it goes, and we'll move forward.
Well, isn't it interesting that your very first virtual meeting will be dealing with probably the biggest issue, besides maybe pennies for progress, that the county has had to deal with, at least since I've been here, maybe in the history of the county, and that, of course, is the final reading and the public hearing involving the Carolina Panthers' move to Rock Hill.
That's right. It is that issue is the largest economic development project in York County's history, but that, at least that I'm aware of, and it has certainly inspired a lot of passions from the public, and it's something that the public absolutely has to be able to opine on. And council, I know, wants to hear from them. They're encouraging folks to speak. How we're going to actually do that, we're going to roll something out to council next week on what that'll look like, but our intent is to make this as open and transparent as possible. I know council's directed us to do that, and we're going to make it happen.
Well, I know the county's got a lot of brain power, and I know you've got a lot of technology that you use every day, but this is going to be different, because if you're going to pull off a meeting where you already have seven council members coming in from all different locations, you got probably a half a dozen staff members that need to be there at this virtual meeting, then you're going to have what I'm hearing could be quite a public interest in this thing. I mean, do you worry about crashing the system?
You know, I'm glad we have brain power that's much stronger than mine to answer those IT-related questions. But I think from our staff's perspective, I think we can pull it off, and we're going to work with our local partners to do whatever we need to do to turn up whatever juice needs to be turned up to make that happen. But I think that the plan that we'll roll out next week to council should satisfy that, and then really give us the chance to work any bugs out between now and the first virtual council meeting we have at the end of April.
Well, I'm sure once you've worked this out and you've got it all mapped out, there'll be detailed instructions for the general public as to how you're going to tap into this thing.
Yeah, you know Trish Startup very well. Oh, she's our public information officer, and she's great. She will hammer social media, and we will push this out every way we can so everyone knows what they would need to do to be a part of this, what is going to be a historic issue.
It's either going to be a great success or it's going to be oops.
Or oops. And we're very optimistic it'll be a great success.
All right. So with all that being said, we're back to what you all have been working on. Golly day now, what, several years? I'm trying to remember when the date for the bond referendum was. 2015. So here we are, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting to see the citizens group come together and work with all the different constituencies in the county. And there was an overwhelming consensus that we had buildings that were really in dire, dire condition. I always remember, I will never forget, when they did the kickoff for the bond referendum in the parking lot of the family, what was then the family court building. I got there a little bit early, and a young lady by the name of Lisa Simmons said, come on in. I know her from the Y. And she says, come on in and let me show you what we're working in. Oh, my God. I mean, a couple of trailers side by side. You've got disgruntled husbands and disgruntled wives within an arm's reach of going across at each other. Very cramped. I mean, it was long, long overdue for a repair. So one of the big hallmarks of the bond referendum was a brand-new family court building, which now is done, and it is flat dab beautiful. It's great.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is, and you're exactly right. Family court is inspires more emotion, I think, for the folks that are involved in that than really any other type of court setting. And you know, having it in a portable for lack of a better term, a double wide, is just not indicative of what a court should be. You know, it's we're proud of where we are with the family court project. We finally got it open. We had some significant delays, but we're there. It's open for business, and now, of course, we get it open, and we got to restrict access to the public for their safety and ours. It's, again, it's just the timing is just abysmal, but we look forward to Mr. Hamilton hosting a ribbon cutting and inviting the public in when it's safe to do so, and I think everyone will be pleased that it is perfectly suited for York County's needs.
Now, you've got, what, three or is it four courtrooms in that building?
There's four courtrooms in there.
Four courtrooms in that building, and you've got really more courtrooms than you do judges right now. Is that right?
Well, yeah, they come in and out from around the state, yes.
And anyway, it's what, 75,000 square feet?
75,000 square,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's a beauty. And you can't miss it if you're right there on Highway 5 coming in and out of Rock Hill. It's just right there, just as big as it can be. Now, part of that is there were dollars in this bond referendum to go back in to the existing Hickel complex.
Yes.
And do some much-needed upfits because that place has been there for quite a while.
Yeah, that facility itself is 30 years old. If you're not familiar with the Hickel complex, we call it, it's three buildings, and we have everything right now from what used to hold planning and development in the clerk of court's office. Now we've got Veterans Affairs over there. We have some conference room space. We've got Department of Juvenile Justice will be in there in building two. We've got DHEC is in building three. So that project is ongoing, and then of course kind of the marquee piece of it will be the Catawba Ebenezer Magistrate's Office will be in building two. So where we had family court before, we're moving from 529 South Cherry to over there at the Hickel complex.
Okay, so the Magistrate's Office is going to move over there. So are all the buildings in the Hickel complex getting some type of renovation?
Yes. All of them are getting, what you can see from the outside will be new roof. We're going to freshen up the paint, but everything on the inside is being redone. I mean, it's 30 years old. So 30 years ago, carpeted wallpaper seemed to be the style du jour. And so that stuff's remained. So it's getting, walls are being removed. Everything's being upfitted to the departmental needs to reflect the needs of today, not the needs of 30 years ago. So we're excited to get that one done, and hopefully we'll get everything finished by August.
So when you plan that out, I mean, do you get these various departments that are using these buildings around the table and say, okay, what do we need to do to get this thing more usable for you?
That's exactly. I mean, it starts out with interviews with the department heads and the architect to kind of get an idea of what's needed. What kind of space needs, what exactly it is each department does, and then they design around that. And then through an iterative process where we're working with the departments, we kind of pare it down into what we think it can be, what we can use it. And, of course, obviously dollars and cents are part of this, but we come up with what we feel is going to be best for everybody.
And from there we get started.
And from there we cut her loose.
So the Hickel upfits will be, when are you anticipating those to be done?
We would like the whole thing to be finished by August, and that's really, we're moving into building two now. So, but if for you veterans that may be listening right now, your Veterans Affairs office is open in building one. DHEC is still operating in building three with the health department and the WIC department. So vital records is still in building three. So those functions are still there. Probation, pardons, and parole is still operating. So the functions are there, but we're kind of having to move people around and work around them. So it's really kind of been a jigsaw puzzle here, moving pieces around to get this done.
So the renovations to the Hickel complex are approximately what in total?
About $5 million.
About $5 million.
A little south of that, but it is.
And the family court building?
Family court was right around $25.
Around $25 million. Now, you've got and have had a project supervisor or construction manager and all
right.
this. Cummings or Cumming?
Cumming.
All right.
Yes, sir.
When you hit snags like you hit on the family court mm-hmm. building, you know, materials not being delivered, whatever the heck there was, there are provisions in your contract whereby they become responsible in some way?
So, yeah, there's a number of things in the agreements that are passed that allow for, you know, force majeure. There's things that some people can't handle. There are acts of God. But there's also, you know, just delays that can only be attributed to the contractor. And so we have the ability to fix that, right, financially or otherwise.
So, for instance, I know one of the things that delayed the opening of the family court building were some exterior corner pieces or something, some decorative pieces. They shipped the wrong ones or the wrong size or whatever the heck it was. And that's the Cummings is responsible for that, getting that right material there at the right time.
Well, no, it's actually the general contractor. So okay, our construction management group really facilitates, plays a liaison between the county and the general contractor.
Gotcha.
So the GC is responsible for all of that stuff.
Okay.
Cummings is the one to make sure and kind of be the heavy when it's needed.
So the bottom line is somebody had to write somebody a check to make up for this, these mistakes.
All of those things, yes, will be worked out as we continue on, because there's still little things that need to be done for punch list purposes, warranty work. So this will be ongoing. And it's not just this building. We just finished a one-year warranty walkthrough at the government center. So these kind of things will go on for another year,
right,
or so.
All right, so the big pieces were the brand new, of course, the bond. See, now I want to make sure I get this right. The bond did not include the new administration building.
Did not.
But that building is done. You've been in there, what, a year?
A little over a year.
A little
now.
Over a
yes,
year.
Sir.
Thank God you knocked down the old one. Can I say that again? Thank God you
yes,
knocked down the old one. So that project's all done. Now, the $89 million worth of projects, which are the family court, the Heckel Upfrit, the magistrate's court, I mean, are all those going to be done here by the end of the year?
By the end of the year, the last thing that we have to do is finish Heckel, and then we're finished.
Done.
It's done. You got to remember the public works facility was in there. The recycling center was in there. We had the Fort Mill and Clover magistrates were in this. We had seven projects in that bond, and Heckel is the last piece of the puzzle.
And I tell you what, if you've not seen that public works piece, that is really impressive.
Yeah.
Particularly Murph.
Oh, the Murph. That's right.
Who's on strike right now because of COVID-19.
COVID-19. Again, it's...
Yeah. Oh, Lord. All right, so what are you going to do now that you don't have to worry about this bond?
Well, in a county that's growing like ours, there's going to be something else needed. And I know a lot of the discussions have been around a facility expansion for the sheriff, whatever
yeah,
that's going to look like, whether it's a off-site justice center or another expansion of the detention center. These things are kind of up in the air, but we're going to have to address that. And I know the sheriff and I have had a number of conversations, not only together, but with council on an appropriate path forward.
Yeah, when you take a look at that, and I think the statistic is still true, about 70%, maybe 75%, the county's population is east of Highway 274.
Mm-hmm.
And so to keep running people back and forth and back and forth, you're right, it gets a little costly and time-consuming. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, and we are wide open. You may not be able to dine in, but you can certainly come in and get the sandwich of your choice or the salad of your choice. They'll prepare it for you, and out the door you go, because we know what the regulations are. And everybody's still coming because they know what the magic is. Even Andy Merriman knows, and we're going to say it at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
Slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great sub or salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All six of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Gold Hill Emergency Department is now open. This is Michelle Walk, ED Director at Piedmont Medical Center. Gold Hill ED is Fort Mill's first standalone emergency room, open 24/7, 365, offering all the services of a hospital-based emergency room with 12 treatment areas. Whatever the medical issue, our team of emergency medical professionals is ready to treat your family, well, when it matters most. Stop by the ED at Gold Hill Road and pick up a free first aid kit. Visit goldhiller.com to learn more.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We're staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great sub or salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Andy Merriman is with us. He is one of the assistant manager, county managers for York County. And we've been all through the $89 million bond referendum. And you can go back and check the program online if you missed all that. But bottom line, by the end of the year, this is all going to be done. All these big projects are going to be done. So, not that there isn't anything else to do. Let's talk about what everybody's trying, you know, people are looking for things to do because you can't go out and dine in. You can't go to the movie theater. You can't go to the bowling. I mean, you can't do any of this stuff. So the outdoors is all of a sudden got a new target on it.
Sure.
And you all are in the midst of another project, which is at Lake Wylie Park. Tell me where we are on that.
So construction's continuing on the Lake Wylie project. It's another outdoor recreation opportunity. What I, you know, and I think in the industry, it's parsed between active recreation and passive recreation. The active recreation component, of course, is the ball fields, the organized sports. That's the focus of the park over in Lake Wylie. I think they're actually rolling out the turf now or pretty close to it. The last aerial view I saw of it showed that work being done. But, you know, our engineering department is handling that project along with our new staff that we've hired to do that. Jason Rattery is a very sharp guy to work on that. So we're looking to that to get rolling hopefully by the fall. And if we can have some tournaments out there, that'll be great to kind of get back to this sense of normalcy everybody's looking for.
One of the most popular parks that's in York County, been a long time, longer than you and me, is Ebenezer Park. And I know that there have been quite a bit of work out there. Mm-hmm. Can you give me any kind of update as to what's going on there?
Yeah, so we're trying to make Ebenezer Park not only just, it's kind of always been squirreled away as a boat access point and a campground, but the potential was always there for so much more. This is one of those projects that counties can do that we call just a fun project, and it's a great way to give back and enhance these natural resources that York County has. But we're expanding dock space, we're expanding some recreation, passive recreation type opportunities out at Ebenezer Park. And again, our engineering department's really been great working with Pat, our Pat Morrison out there at Ebenezer.
Yeah.
He's
Park
great.
Manager.
And we're hoping to get that one. I don't know the date exactly on when that one will be ready to roll out to the public, but there's certainly no shortage of work being done out there. And I think when it's done, and it's going to be one of the crown jewels of Lake Wylie.
And there's no shortage of boat traffic on the lake. I mean, even though those docks, those launch pads are closed right now because of the construction, people are getting into the water, Allison Creek or wherever they're going.
There's no stopping that.
No, not at all. So we have Lake Wylie, we have Ebenezer, and of course, you know, the county's big crown jewel in time will be this Riverbend Park, which I've said this before. Kudos to everybody involved with that to take advantage of an opportunity, work that nice little secret straw deal where you're able to buy it for a lot cheaper than you probably would if they'd known it was York County buying it. But you got 2,000 acres out there, and I know it's a long-term plan to try to get it up. But what's reasonable to expect in 2020?
Oh, I think what's reasonable to expect in 2020 is some limited public access, specifically for trail access. There's some existing trails out there, and I think as we go towards the end of the year, there may be some opportunity. And of course, all of what's going on here nationally is kind of tampering a lot of what's going to be available. But I think the hope is by the end of this year, first of next year, that we start allowing the public on there on a regular basis for limited recreational opportunities. Again, probably some bike access, some trail access. But this is just as you said, it's going to be a long, deliberative process to make sure that we use that asset and maximize its benefit to the community and the region.
You know, I always remember the aerial photos of both sides of the river, right where that park is. And on the north side of the river, or east side of the river, whatever it is, there's Fort Mill, and it's just all rooftops. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, it's just all tops of trees. And what you all were able to do is preserve that for perpetuity.
Perpetuity.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. So with all that being said, and I was having this conversation with Rock Hill here recently, when we have a downturn like we've had, mm-hmm. it's hard to believe that 30 days ago, we had a 50-year unemployment low in the country. And a month later, we've got a historic high, which means everything is slowed down, which means revenues are slowing down across the board for everybody. You know, accommodations tax, hospitality tax, et cetera, et cetera. And that keeps particularly people, well, I don't care whether you're in private business or in government business, you're looking at that budget all the time and trying to figure out, okay, what is this really going to mean?
Mm-hmm.
True?
It's absolutely true. We have to be as good stewards of the tax dollars we can, and we need to be in a position to respond accordingly when there is a catastrophic event that affects the national economy. I think county council over a number of years has made very wise financial decisions, and we are in a strong position to weather this storm. I know there's other counties statewide that have not put themselves in this position. I know there's certainly counties nationally that are going to hemorrhage because of this, but I think we are in a position to weather this storm well and be able to provide the necessary services and be able to invest in the things we've already invested in. So we're going to certainly take a very conservative approach to this, but we're going to get through it.
And when people throughout the course of all these budget hearings hear about fund balances and having surpluses, that's why you have them.
That's exactly why you
because
have them.
Because if you know the rooftops get blown off because of this thing, you got to have enough money set aside to continue to pay people, make necessary purchases, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why you have it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could imagine if we weren't picking up garbage, what public health emergency have outside of COVID-19. So, you know, again, making sure that our streets are safe and clean and traversable. There's a number of things that we have to continue to do, and that's why you have a fund balance that's as healthy as ours is for reasons just like this.
Well, Andy, you've done good on the show, buddy.
Well, thank you.
Always appreciate you being here. I've had a double dose of Andy this week.
That's right.
Which is very unusual, but he's tired of it. I'm not. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our show here from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We thank you all for being with us this week. It's always been an interesting couple of weeks, particularly on the radio, talking about all the aspects of the virus and what we're going through. And we will continue that coverage throughout the course of how long this takes. Don't forget that special York County Council meeting. The virtual one is on April the 20th. You're going to get all kinds of info between now and then, telling you how to get into it if you want to participate or just listen to it. Okay, so that's we'll wrap it up. And that's, of course, another week of Straight Talk here presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay, remember, Substation 2 is wide open here. You cannot dine here, but you can certainly come in and order your fresh sub or salad like everybody's been doing all week long. And this lady knows exactly why she's here, because we prepare fresh subs and salad right before your eyes 7 days a week. We're going to do the white letters together at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice.
Garden. You got it. Okay, have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.
WRHI Rock Hill.
Good Pharmacy, Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 50 years. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road.